don't actually amount to all that much. And if calculated
The Up North Podcast is an independent production and has a joint sales agreement with Double Radio. Enjoy.
Helping to pay for long overdue improvements to our nation's roads, bridges, railways,
hey folks,
and much,
let's spend
much
some time
more
with
that
friends
are in
up
this
north.
Very
Pat
aggressive
Kreitlow
plan.
Up North News is on Lake
the
Wissota.
Is to create
Kristen
Bry
of
Asco,
Wisconsin, is along Lake Michigan.
Infrastructure
and up on Lake Minocqua is Kirk Bankston, the Minocqua
our,
Brewing
climate
Company.
Emergency that
wherever
we are
you are,
facing.
And welcome. Clean up a lot of pollution, too, that we all pay for.
Oh, there's that. So that's coming up momentarily, but first a few quick, if rather no
welcome to the cabin. You have made it up day. North. Nice to have you here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, managing editor of Up North News, WI.com.
And I'm Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company.
And in our virtual waiting room, our green room here, is Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire, who will be joining us in just a little bit. But first, we want to tell you that this is our first week without Kristen Bry of Asgos, Wisconsin. But I'm pretty happy for the reason why this is, because she's at a previously scheduled event that includes somebody known as the Washington Post TikTok guy. So if you're familiar with viral videos in any way, shape, or form, you know that Washington Post TikTok guy does these great, short, funny videos about the news. Well, Kristen is basically Wisconsin TikTok woman. So for her to be doing something with Washington Post TikTok guy is a pretty nice gig. So we'll look forward to talking to her next week about that. We should also note that if you are catching the video version of our podcast, you might notice I'm not along Lake Wissota today, because I'm not. Up North News does have a state capitol bureau, even though we haven't used it very much for the past 12 months and yet have been paying rent. But I'm working out of there this midweek, and so we are broadcasting thanks to Devil Radio News Talk 92.7 for letting us use their studio so that we can keep the show going, whether we are on the lake or holding people in power accountable while in Madison, Kirk. So, we'll be back on our lakes in due course. Besides, yeah, the weather hasn't been good for lakes this time around.
Absolutely. What I heard, somebody got was trying to fly into Madison yesterday and it was grounded because of the snow. Like, what's going on?
I drove down, and the roads around Eau Claire were basically an ice rink. So that part I didn't miss about from my time in the legislature was all the driving back and forth when the roads weren't all that great. But joining us is somebody who has to make that drive, unfortunately for her, but fortunately for us, because she represents the 91st Assembly District from Eau Claire out in western Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is here. Jody, nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well, Pat. Hey, Kirk.
Hey. So glad you're here. I didn't know who the guest was tonight. I knew it was an assembly person, but I didn't know you were coming from Eau Claire. So I'm glad we got the Up North representation still rocking.
Surprise!
Nice. So we're going to talk to her about several different areas about the legislature, ways that they affect life up north, including infrastructure. Later on, we're going to talk about decriminalizing marijuana with Up North News reporter Jonathan Sadowski. But we also want to talk about how there is a new candidate for U.S. Senate. And so there are now four Democrats running for U.S. Senate for the seat held by Ron Johnson. And so Representative Emerson is here. Some people are making endorsements, some are not. But Jody, you know of Sarah Godlewski. So, I thought we'd pick your brain first and see what your impressions are of her, because we've talked already about Tom Nelson. I served with him in the legislature, Outagamie County Executive, Alex Lazary from the Milwaukee Bucks, Jillian Bettina from Wausau, we haven't really talked about yet. What are your impressions of Sarah Godlewski, the state treasurer?
Well, Sarah and I have been friends for a while. She's an Eau Claire native. We both went to the same high schools, although very different years, I might add.
Oh, wow.
But she was much more recent than I was.
Okay,
let's just leave it at that.
Good save. All right.
And Sarah is one of these people I would consider a very good friend. She has been a good partner for legislation. She's good to bounce ideas off of. From a personal aspect, I'm so thrilled that my friend Sarah is running. Being from Eau Claire, having a woman in the race that's won a statewide election already, I'm thrilled. So,
and I'm going to say this about Sarah and Tom, Alex, Jillian, and I'm positive there will be other candidates in the race. But, you know, I worked with my friend Dana Walks when he was running for governor, when there were 74 people, you know, running in the Democratic primary. We're going to have a big one this time around. And part of the reason Democrats won in 2018 and kicked Scott Walker out of the governor's mansion is that, you know, that large primary field basically played well with each other. They kept it on ideas. There was very little sniping. There was very little, you know, mudslinging or whatever. And certainly from the cast of characters in here right now, Jody, I sense we're probably going to have again a primary that's mostly focused on the issues and what they see as the problem with Ron Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, there's pluses and minuses to having a busy primary. The plus is that you've got more people talking about, in this case, Democratic ideals, how we can, you know, do good with that seat versus doing evil, which is what he's doing right now. The downside, and from being involved in one of the governor races that year, you know, there's a limited pot of funds to go around, and that can be the detriment of some really, really good candidates. So, you know, the main thing is that we get Ron Johnson out of that office, or who, if he's not going to run and he seems to not be able to decide one way or the other, you know, that we don't fill him that position with another Republican, that we fill it with another Democrat. Having more candidates spreading the knowledge of what a Democrat can do in that position around the state is really helpful. So,
okay. Well, you know, we're going to do a little legislative catch up while we got you here. Kirk, what's been especially noteworthy to you is what's being done with, you know, potential changes in election law. That one kind of sticks in your craw, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, Jody, I'm stuck on this gerrymandering thing, and I really am focused with the Super PAC on just making it fair in Wisconsin and keeping elections fair and keeping politics as what I say as clean as our lakes and streams up north. And obviously they're not right now. So the thing that really messes with me is the you know, these slate of election laws that probably Alec or, you know, these Republican groups nationwide are just kind of like copying and pasting with every single state in America. And so I don't know exactly which ones are getting into Wisconsin. I mean, because you're there all the time, I'm hoping you can kind of update us on what are the real voter suppression laws that we're facing right now, or bills that we're facing right now.
Yeah. So I'm actually on the Campaigns and Election Committee, and we had a hearing today. So far this year, we've really been focused on this witch hunt investigation against Green Bay, you know, that has just taken up way too much time to find absolutely nothing. But the bills that we're seeing right now are more specifically to deal with some of the issues that came up in the 2020 election, whether it's absentee ballots, drop boxes, different things like that. There was one that we heard today about private grants. You know, they don't want to have anybody other, and by they, I mean the Republican Party, or really Alec, you know, funding any sort of election at all. However, when they control the purse strings of the state and tie the local purse strings so that people can't raise, you know, taxes on the local level, they're also not funding the elections. And so when there's an emergency that comes out like COVID, where we need to get more people and PPE and, you know, plexiglass barriers and things like that, they also weren't willing to fund it. So I don't blame these cities for getting some of these grants. But there's also other things in this bill that is like, you can't have somebody who works at various nonprofits being an election worker. However, we haven't seen the big slate of election suppression or voter suppression laws that have gone through Georgia and Texas and some other states. you know, and those are, you're right, Kirk. They're absolutely cut and paste from, you know, the ALEC playbook.
And we should explain, ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council, I believe, which is a right-wing group that just, that does this, that presents these, this cookie-cutter legislation, and legislators will work on that rather than the ideas that their constituents bring to them. You, when you wonder, why are some of these issues, whether it's decriminalizing marijuana or gun safety or getting rid of gerrymandering, these all have like 70% support. Why aren't legislators working on that? Because they have these bills from ALEC that, you know, their big donors want them to work on. And that's why it's taking up all your time, Jody, in committees where it's not like Governor Evers is going to sign any of these bills.
Exactly. And he is our stopgap between this and absolute voter suppression. And in the way that I look at some of these bills that are coming before us is, do we want more people voting in elections and making it easier for people to vote in various ways? As the pandemic showed us, you know, not everybody comes from a place where they feel comfortable going out for various reasons. And what are the different ways that we can get people voting? And the Republican Party seems to look at it as, what are the most ways that I can exclude people from voting? And that's, I think, really where, if we were going to split the parties down the middle, that's a clear suppression piece. And, you know, it's just so frustrating because, our democracy is run on one person, one vote. And what can we do to have
not $1, one vote? I thought it was Citizens United, you know, told us otherwise.
I know that like half of America and half of Wisconsin listens to a different set of news than the other half. You know, it just, you can tell by, you know, what you read on Facebook. But I just can't understand how the other side can spin this and make people believe it, you know, that we shouldn't let whoever, we shouldn't make voting easier. How do they spin it and make their side believe that this is what we should be doing? I just don't understand.
I don't either. I like, if I could get into their heads, I don't know if I would want to, and I'm just going to leave it at
that. It really is just about, look, they know. What I used to say as a candidate all the time to try to help gin up voter turnout was, you know, they always vote, you know, come hell or high water. But as we often see in midterm elections, which is also when we elect a governor in Wisconsin, a lot of folks who will vote in presidential elections don't show up in some of these others. And so the more they can suppress turnout, the more they can sow doubt, you know, about elections, then the more likely they would win. Because when more people vote, folks on the right tend not to win. Jody, in the time we got left, I really want to get to the floor speech you made in the assembly on Tuesday, because you really hit on what I'd like to call Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's haberdashery, which nobody uses anymore, but it's a hat store. And Robin Voss wants to wear a lot of hats, except the hat of a legislator, whether it's the hat of the governor or attorney general, or maybe he wants to run the DNR, or he wants to run the elections commission, or he wants to run school boards. You basically called him out on that on Tuesday evening.
You know, there's, Pat, you were in the legislature for a while. You know that there's some days that you just hold tight in your heart and make you smile a little bit. And there's other days where you wonder where the nearest brew pub is that's serving Kirk's beers. So, but yesterday was one of those days where I really enjoyed it. And so the bill that we were debating was a resolution directing Josh Call to enter a lawsuit, West Virginia versus Department of Revenue, I believe, where we can basically the ARPA dollars, the American Rescue Plan dollars, the legislature could spend in any way that they wanted to. And so I got up and did a floor speech and basically asked Robin Voss what he wants to be when he grows up, because it seemed like he wanted to be the attorney general. If you want to be the attorney general, run for attorney general. If you want to be the governor, run for governor. But, you know, maybe you should do the job that your constituents, and I didn't say this on the floor, but wanted to, or your donors have hired you to do. So,
well, you did call him out on that, and perhaps he needs to hear that a few more times. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire, thank you for joining us on the Up North Podcast. Great seeing you. And great hearing from you.
Great seeing you, too.
All right.
Way to go, Jody.
Kirk and I will be back in just a bit. You are up north.
Lord, I say, Lord, Lord, Lord. my dad.